More fuel for the fire on Capitol Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. As if there wasn't enough outrage in Washington over bonuses, here's something else to add to the fire. 13 of the companies receiving billions in bailout money owe a total of more than $220 million in delinquent federal taxes. Democratic Congressman John Lewis made that revelation this morning. He says an oversight committee discovered the back taxes in a review of IRS records. This comes as the House is expected to vote today on a bill that would impose steep taxes on bonuses at companies that took rescue funds. The Fed announced a different sort of rescue effort yesterday. The plan is to inject $1 trillion into the economy by buying up mortgage-backed securities and U.S. Treasuries. The extraordinary measure is aimed at driving mortgage rates to historic lows and reviving the housing market. There's another way the Fed is acting as a plumber to the financial crisis. Today is also the deadline for big investors to apply for the government's TALF program. The idea behind this one is to leave the credit markets flush with cash. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
You see, the credit pipeline isn't really empty. In a way, it's just clogged with loans that investors aren't interested in buying. Dana Saporta, an economist with New York's Dresdner Kleinwort, says that's getting in the way of new loans.
Banks are reluctant to make loans to businesses and consumers because they can't turn around and repackage these loans into securitized debt and sell them in the market.
So the plumbers at the Federal Reserve are pouring in a little financial draino, so to speak. Well, not just a little, up to $1 trillion worth in the form of cheap loans to big investors. The Fed's already had some success freeing up money for mortgages with a similar program. Now it aims to attract buyers for bundled credit card debt and car, student, and small business loans.
This is a way for the Fed to sort of encourage demand that would not exist otherwise.
Investors who buy that debt get a steady payout, and if the plan succeeds, banks should have more money to make more loans. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
A gauge that looks at the economy's future is pointing downward. The index of leading indicators dropped 0.4%. We also got the latest word on jobless claims today. They were down more than expected last week, but the number of people remaining on unemployment set a new record for the 8th straight week. Right now, the Dow is down about 0.25% or 19 points to 7467. The Nasdaq is up slightly to 1491, not quite a point there. The S&P 500 down just over a point to 792. Shares in Europe are still up at this hour. And oil has hit its high for 2009, tied to that Fed injection. It's at just over $51 a barrel. European Union leaders are meeting today at a summit in Brussels. They're expected to increase the EU's emergency fund for its members in Central and Eastern Europe, the areas worst hit by the economic crisis. Christopher Wirth has that.
Frozen credit markets and weak economies continue to keep Europe's former communist members unable to finance growing external deficits. But help is coming from the European Union's emergency fund. It was doubled in December to $32 billion, but even that is proving not to be enough. This month, Romania became the latest country that turned to the fund, and many say Lithuania could be next. Katinka Barish is with the Center for European Reform.
Some of the countries in Central and Eastern Europe, they had overheating economies and bubbles and lending growth from the banks that was far too fast.
Last month, European leaders shot down a request for over $230 billion in aid for Central and Eastern Europe. Instead, the EU is trying to tackle the crisis on a country-by-country basis. A decision at the summit this week could double the emergency fund for a second time. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
We've heard recently that a lot of big U.S. companies aren't hiring as many foreign students in this economy. The lion's share of H-1B visas, those are the visas for highly skilled workers, go to people in India, where there's a lot of concern about this new hiring trend. From New Delhi, Raymond Thibodeau has this report.
In India, a bachelor who has an H-1B visa can get more dowry money from the family of his potential bride. So prized are these work visas that offer a chance of winning permanent residency in the U.S. But America is hurting in a recession where more than 500,000 workers are laid off every month. And some U.S. lawmakers are demanding that H-1B visa holders should be the first to go. Those demands have touched a nerve here in India.
It's a big issue for us. From our perspective, this is looking very bad, discriminatory, biased. How you will justify this?
That's Swami Vigyagyanand, spokesman for the Global Hindu Alliance. The group's calling for a boycott of some American goods to protest new restrictions on H-1B workers. He says the program benefits both countries. It gives Indian professionals a chance to boost their resumes by working in the U.S., and it's given American companies a deeper international talent pool.
But because they are getting a stimulus package, they're obliged to follow the dictate of the President Obama, which is to throw this Indian H-1 visa holder out of the job.
The Obama administration aims to tighten oversight of all work visa programs. The president's stimulus plan stops companies that take federal bailout money from hiring H-1B visa holders for 2 years if the firms have laid off American workers in the previous 6 months. That's most likely a nod to H-1B critics who say the work visa process is riddled with fraud. They say some companies, not just in the financial sector but in technology too, bring in foreign workers, pay them less, and hold down the wages of their American counterparts. It's a thorny problem. Amit Nivsekar is a vice president for India's biggest IT and outsourcing industry trade group, NASSCOM.
It raises concerns on both sides, anything to do with H-1B or outsourcing.
Nivsekar and other industry leaders here point out that H-1B visa holders represent only a tiny percentage of the American workforce. They say that if talented Indians are excluded from banking and technology jobs in America, not only will they suffer, the American economy will too. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
You can weigh in on this at marketplace.org. The Dow is down 25 points, 0.3% to 74.61. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.